गणानान्त्वा गणपतिगुम्मवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन् ऋतिभिः सेधसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वेदान्तडिण्डिमस्तत्त्वम् एकमुद्घोषयन्ति यत् आस्तां पुरस्तात् तत्तेजः दक्षिणामूर्तिसंहितम् No problem. Would you mind maybe getting the door? It's a little bit chilly, the heat in like this. So this text for our guest today, Saiji, I'll just give a small introduction of what we've been studying. This text is Vedanta Dindima of Adi Guru Shankara. And it gives pointers to what Vedanta is talking about, to the vision of Vedanta. And the whole illustration that's given, each verse ends with the same, last pada is the same, right? Iti Vedanta Dindima. Each one ends like this. Which just different pointers about what vision of Vedanta is to remind us. Because what happens in the older times, nowadays you don't need to, somebody doesn't need to come and give a proclamation, or actually they do have. When you have your phone, there's amber alert, right? Something important. So they catch and send it like this. Or they're breaking news. So now all news is breaking news, so there's no such thing breaking news anymore. It used to be it was some big thing. And so but they'll have some alert like this. That's something. Here we don't have as much, but if you're in places where there's more danger from cyclone or from warfare, then there's a siren. Where I grew up, then there's a siren. You'd have to go to bomb shelter in the Middle East. It's like that. But in any case, so in the town, the king would have to send the proclamation. So somebody would come with a big drum, right, and make a lot of noise with it. So then it catches everybody's attention. And then they'll read, okay, you know, King Biden, President Biden has said, from tomorrow, the last Monday in June, or whichever it is Juneteenth, to commemorate the... the end of slavery, like in U.S., like this, and then from now on, so then everybody knows, like this. So in order to point it out. So here, each verse, just to point it out, to remind us again and again. And as we were discussing, it's very nice, so we gather every Sunday, we were going to do this for some time. I really thought this would be, this text we'll call stopgap text for some time, then we'll move on to something else, but it's been so nice we've been staying with it. So every Sunday it's a reminder for us. Reminder, what Vedanta is pointing out. And then, because, okay, some pointer to it, some calibration. But then we have to keep doing our attention has to go to it. Because it points to something, but then I have to look, I have to investigate. This is one of the things in Vedanta. It's not just saying have some Shraddha and then everything will be okay in this, have a certain belief. It says, yes, this is how it is, and you have to look at it. You have to know for yourself. Nobody can know for you like this. So this is the wonderful thing. So our last three verses have been pointing out to, I am Sapta, I'm not the Panchakosha, right? I'm not, this is what it's been pointing out, these verses. I don't recall them off the top of my head. So let's just read those few, and then we'll conclude these verses, which we've been doing, from 51 to 53. So we're saying like this. You have in the text right there. Let's chant them all. Dehadi panchakoshastha yasatta pratibhasate
sa sattatmana sandehaha iti vedanta gindimaha dehadi panchakoshastha yaspuritirani bhuyate sa spuritiratmana evandyat iti vedanta gindimaha dehadi panchakoshastha yapritirani bhuyate sa pritiratma kutastha iti vedanta gindimaha.
So saying you are the satta, the sat, right? You are the aware, the presence, the existence. You are the chit. Here it says, spurti, a different word for the same thing. And you are the ananda, right? You are these ones, pritihi, not this. We said it's not different aspects, because if we were saying, the moment you say an aspect of myself, that aspect is there permanently or impermanently, right? We want some of them to be permanent, but those that we want to be permanent, after some time we want it to change too. Because, yes, I like a certain situation, I want it to always be like that. After a little while I get tired of it, I want something else. But that's not the main thing with it. An aspect is some limitation, something measurable, something that is in comparison with something else. Where I, just you, not me as my, you know, my body, my mind, these things. It's not something that is a tangible, measurable thing, right? How tall are you this tall? How tall are you as awareness? Where does it start? Where does it end? I know this much, very good. My mind has certain limitation. But as awareness, where does it start, where does it end? So here we don't say they're different aspects, they're just different pointers for us to point back to ourselves. But myself is not going to be something with different aspects. Otherwise I become saguna and I'm going to become some changing phenomena like this. This is what happens. So these are the pointers like this. And again, we were focusing so much on this, first of all, very, very nice how it's developed here, why it's going this order. Why do they say Satchidananda, not Chidananda Sat like this? It's always said like this. Satyam Jnanam Ananta Brahma Yo Vedani Tanguhayam Paramevyoman, like this in our Taittiriya. Always Satyam Jnanam Anantam, same thing, Satchidananda, always in this order. It's said, I've never heard it said in a different order. And here also, this text is giving the same. Because first of all, that there's one existence is easier for me to see. I'm experiencing everything, one presence. He'll repeat it now in a different way in the next verses, because in the end the pointers to the same thing. If we get tired of these pointers, then what can we do? This is what Vedanta is pointing out. We have to look at it. You know, imagine the astrophysicists. Do they get tired looking at the stars and analyzing them? If they did, then they're in the wrong profession. The doctor gets tired of, oh, something's wrong with you. Think of that. A doctor, if somebody's not well, will they ever not respond? I'm off duty, sorry. If there's another doctor that can see us, I'm off duty, this doctor. But if not, they're never going to stop. So Vedanta, I have to have the interest to look into. But in any case, so first of all, we said, I see, yes, as I'm experiencing presence. And the main differentiation we make is me and not me. That's the main differentiation. We looked at it closely. I am present. I feel my body. I feel my mind. And the world is present, I feel. So I feel presence. Then, first I feel the presence, then I break into the two. Like this. Deep sleep, where's the difference? No difference. So really the concepts, what is it? It's thought. If in my mind I'm thinking something and I separate into two things, it's just a thought separation. So there's the border between I and not I, and it's a very flimsy border too. Because let's say now somebody, for the sports fan, somebody is a Celtics fan, somebody is a Warriors fan, right? They break between the two. So like this, somebody moves from one to the other. Okay, now I became the other one's fan. Now I'll be happy with this. I'll be sad because of this. They break it. Where somebody will say, sports. Okay, sports, one thing. We separate the things, you know. This country, we separate. So the mind separates, and for vyavahara, for our worldly things, it's necessary. I have to drive on the right-hand side because otherwise, you know, will be accidents. And if I go to India, I have to remember to change sides. And then I have to know how to use the horn and everything. We're here. If I use the horn too much, people get angry. Like this. But in any case, it's for convention, for vyavahara useful. But for clear understanding, it doesn't help. It's so I and not I, one presence. So first we looked at this. Then we looked at chit. Well, what is this? Everything there I'm experiencing. The whole range of all this I'm experiencing. Whatever doesn't fall within the range of myself is the consciousness. It doesn't have, it's not existing, my whole thing. So it is chit. Because where are you experiencing everything? Anything that goes, doesn't go into your mind, you experience. No. Anything you're not aware of, do you experience? No. It's all within this range. And so in the end, we said, well, okay, within this range. And then, so behind every little thing is chit. There's nothing you can experience not chit. And we also looked at chit, when you say I am and I know, these two base things, can you separate I am on this side, I know on this side? I know that I am. The fact that I say I am means I know. We're like, this table does, is free, it doesn't, it's Jivan Mukta, doesn't have to go to Vedanta class because it doesn't have chit, right, to know. But the thing is, so it doesn't have the problem because Jagam. Jadam, it didn't have the blessing of having a mind, having a subtle body. So then it doesn't have to, so it doesn't have to go. It's poor thing it had to attend Vedanta class anyway. It's jealous of the dining room table that just sits there. But it doesn't have to break its head because it doesn't have a head to break. So no problem. So in any case, so it's free from that. But the thing is, as I'm an awareful being, I can't separate the two. I'm existent, I know that I exist. You'll never separate the two. So we say, yes, it's all. I feel presence, and it is. So the sat is, first of all, very obvious. The chit obvious in me, but then it's not obvious. It's the one in and through behind everything. But I can't separate the two. So this is one of the big things to look at is, we say there's a whole world, but can you separate any object from the experience of the object? You can never separate the two. We'll start, the next verse actually starts looking into this a little more. So you can't really separate. You'll never separate the two. You never have an object that you can experience and you can separate the two. So chitta is always behind everything, your whole world. And interesting, we talk about loka, there are different lokas, right? Loka, the word look in English, comes from the same root like this, meaning it's an experiential realm, like this, experiential realm. So within that realm of experience, because my existence, my life is a series of experiences. We look at it from the material perspective and we say they're objects. But that's a set, but directly, it's a series of experiences for me. That's what it is. And what are a series of experiences? What's the base? The conscious being. So chit. So there's the chit. And then we said, when we really look at this sat and chit, where's everything else? Everything else becomes, doesn't have substance. Everything meaning of its own. That's why we say it's mithya, because really the substance is sat chit, nama rupa, whatever. And it's just, you know, ephemeral. And then when I'm looking at that, how do I feel? Oh, how wonderful, shanti. So the shanti is the ananda, and that's unless I see the sachit, it'll be very hard to see the ananda. Because of that, most of the time, most people are running after some ephemeral joy and happiness. Because we want that, we don't want to feel this limitation, we don't want to feel the suffering. And so we find that we can, in certain conditions, I can feel that. I can feel the joy, or I can feel the love in certain, with certain people or certain situations. So I like that, but that is still just a temporary thing. just an experiential thing, which is not solid, which is just very, very flimsy and conditional. But then, when I look closer at my nature, then where is that problem? Where is the limitation? So when it's experiential, then it's just through the upadhi, some experience that something of mine, my mind, or has some sort of somehow connects with something else, and then it gives a good experience like this. But then in the end, really, it's that conditional one is still going to go after some time. It's not going to remain solid. And actually, when you go to the priti here, the ananda from the perspective seeing as love, then really I see like an extension myself somewhere. I see the extension myself. So the extension myself, so I feel very good. It reinforces, brings me back to myself, so it's very good. So the viveka is to look and see that really it's myself plus some other things. I love somebody, oh, because it's my son, or it's because my father, today father, so Father's Day, because my father this, some love there. But really it's myself, I'm experiencing myself, plus some other ideas wrapped around it. The more I can look at it that way, the more something that I'm more indifferent to, yeah, that's still myself with some of the wrapping around it. Something I don't like, still myself with some other ideas I put on it. Then where's the limitation? Like this. Otherwise, the love will be limited to certain things, certain circle. Alshmar circle here. We all like Vedanta, we all love each other. Those people that you know, like the temple or the mosque or the church or this, we're not so sure about them, then what a limited circle it is, and I just limit myself like this. So this is a little bit about what we have looked at. And very important with this viveka is to look again and again. Okay, what do I get caught up in? He says, dehadi pancha koshas tha, that it's within these five koshas, it's there. So I identify very much with my body. So I have to again and again look at it. What is body? It exists. I experience it. I'm conscious. Without my being conscious, where would body be? When I really look close at it, really closely, then I drop everything else. This is one of the nice things at Raja Yoga. Be present with something, then you just become present. That you can drop too, and you see that you're just the presence. So then it's the sensation's doorway to show me that I'm the chit, and from that I see I'm the ananda. So instead of just so looking at it closely, see that it's not, and see that I'm, that's from one perspective, the other perspective that I'm the sakshi, I'm aware of this body, I'm aware of the sensations. What is the whole, when I say body, it's a bundle of sensations that I built up a certain idea about, my whole that is what it is. And then when it's changing, then it's hard, okay, what's going to happen to me, like this. Especially gradual changes, a little easier. Sudden changes, how much harder? When suddenly something's different. And the thought, oh, the body's not going to be there after some time, oh, how much? So really, just to see, I'm the sakshi, body's just some sensation. I've put on, I have energy, I have some health or some ill health, right? I felt cold today, I stepped out, or I feel hot. So I can identify with or see. Again, I'm aware of that, I'm sakshi. And again, it's showing me I'm satchit. It's showing me this. Mind, the emotions. This is a very good thing. When you meditate, some of the time the mind isn't cooperating, right? Some of the time I can think of the God or some vichara, oh, I feel very nice. Some of the time the mind isn't very happy then. It's whether it's distracted or it's feeling down for some reason like this. So that's great. Let it be like this and let me look at it and say, okay, that's just the mind. It's a wave, it's going to come and go, that idea. I'm the awareness. Within the awareness, it appears. Within the awareness, it disappears. Right? Like this. What is it really? Am I going to get caught up in that little thing? It's making noise. How many times it's making that noise? Do I still have to listen to that? Yeah. Like this. So all the emotions like this, thoughts. Then the intellect. I know this, I don't know this, in this way. Vijayji, my Vedanta teacher, he was saying how he's getting a little more forgetful. He's in his late 70s, I think. He said his father, when he got older, you know, he also was getting forgetful. And so he knows, okay, genetic, no problem. And what does that have to do with the kosha, with mind, intellect? That's what it is. It's some physiological thing, brain. So he says his father get upset at it, that he's forgetting things. So he said, you know, so he's lucky he got to see that, so he can learn from it. What is the kosha? So if you don't remember something, okay, what's the big deal? Does it affect me, the awareness? You know, I have a car, if my car is a little older, and, you know, breaks down a little bit here and there. Am I different? Oh, the same person, just with an older car, big deal, like this. So in this way. And when you go to the intellect also, one of the most ingrained parts there is I'm karta, right? I'm the doer. I'm the one talking. I'm the one hearing. I'm the one reading. I'm the one gardening, right? All this. That's very deeply ingrained. But again, when you observe it, when you really watch, an action is happening. If you really look closely, the idea of doership is there. But this is what I like very much, Surya Namaskar. Surya Namaskar, when you're doing, you do it. If you really watch it closely, can you be observing it and doing same time? Kind of the mind is jumping between the two. But if you really watch closely, if you really watch, it's happening. Where are you at the one doing? Okay, you know, thoughts are, mind is involved, intellect is involved, body is involved. And you watch it happening like this. So this one is very, very deeply ingrained, but we have to really look at it, because again, it's a conclusion. These are all, we come to conclusions, we take them as facts. And then we go and we say, oh God, oh Master, please free me from them. And then the Vedanta Guru will say, good, yes, you have to look into it. I can't free you from that. You have to look into it and understand that it's not really limiting you. It's not really conditioning you. You can point out, but you have to look at it like this. It's not like somebody can break you out of the prison. Nobody else can do it. So like this, the karta really is very deeply ingrained like this. Very much so. This is when you meet somebody, what do you do? Meaning, people identify as their role, as, you know, what job they do, usually like this. So, you know, oh, it's a hot, long holiday weekend. What are you going to be doing? Like this. So in this way, very strong identification. Then, anandamaya kosham, I'm bhokta, I'm enjoying. I like this. Oh, it's a beautiful, cool day. I like it. Oh, it's hot. I don't like this, that I enjoy. Where really I'm aware of a nice feeling coming in the mind in this. I'm aware of the not nice one coming. And again, that's just because I call them that. I label them like this. So again, so in this way, the anandamaya is bhoktrutvam, the enjoyership and feeling of joy, feeling of love, which again we said because of kosha, it's in gradations. Because you love the family member very much, and then later, you know, there's some differences in this. You love, but not as much. Like this, I feel great joy today, and then later in the day, I get a little tired of the celebration, whatever. So a little less joy, it's nice, but a little less. So it's still gradations. The moment is gradations. Am I gradations? Today I'm 50% myself, but yesterday I was 90% myself, you know. It was really something. Are you ever just partially yourself? You can't be partial yourself. You're yourself, period, like this. So all these things we have to keep looking at. It's like these are just some words and pointers. But here in Vedanta, how they point out, these are the ones. These are the ones we get caught up in. And then I have to look at it. And then, of course, as some Mahatmas say, this is in the Panchadashi points out, they point out a sixth kosha they call Gauna Atma. Gauna Atma, extend around me. This is my house, right? My house, my place. And so if the roof is leaking, I'm going to be very worrying. If people come and say, oh, it's a very nice place. Wow, you set up very nice. You're very fortunate, very lucky you got this then. My, like this. And so the surrounding around me. And actually, this one really has a lot of an impact on this. I'm sure I've mentioned before this lady. I'm sure she's a jnani or very high up there. Nani Ma, who I've mentioned, who stays there near Uttarkashi. She came there in her 20-year-old or something like this from England. Is stayed there since. She went back to England once, I think she said, when her mother was dying or something like this. Otherwise, she's just there. Great Mahatma there. So when their ashram was washed away by Ganga, and then just staying somewhere else when we went and saw after they were there one of the years, a few years ago, and the big floods up there in that area. Then she said, you think that we're attached to the body in this, but your surroundings really affect you. That when all that is just gone, how it affects. And if she said this, somebody who has been, you know, 10, 15 hours a day meditation for years in Uttarakashi Gangotri says this, so they saw a difference. What for us? Like, just imagine this earthquake, your whole place is gone. What would happen? Like this. Very good to think of, because everything takes, so the surrounding really like this. So all these things, really for us to be looking into again and again. The dindima from outside reminds us, but then I have to make those reminders in my own mind, look it in my own mind, not just wait for that. Because I would think the more junior musician needs the rhythm or needs the scale to hear from the outside, right? They have the shruti, right? That I saw when Pandit Jasraj would come, he'd have two, probably others have, they have two on both sides, they can hear in both ears, and one in the middle they'll go and fix one of them a little, because a little off, so it helps them. So yeah, it's needed like this. But slowly, I'm sure, without that, I'm sure they'd be, the professionals would be very, you know, very seldom off at all, because they've already internalized. So at first, the reminder needed again and again and again, but then slowly I have to build up those reminders in myself, reminder is one thing, but then to look at it myself. I have to have the interest and the desire to really look at it like this. And time and again, so I get upset or something, I get a little depressed, good, then after I remember, I look at it, look, okay, the mind is making some noise. Okay, very good, I got caught up in no problem. What is that noise? I'm aware of it, is it me? Am I the same one with that noise? I have a very good feeling, everything is wonderful. Okay, the mind has some idea, am I a different one now? You know, this thing is also gonna come and then, you know, go away, and then what? Like this. Am I not going to be the same one when it's gone? In this way, to really look at it again and again. So in any case, just a little bit of review of this small section. So in this way, it's looking at nature of self when looking at the vyashti, the individual, from the individual's perspective. What happens is, to look from absolute perspective, it's not a perspective. If I just say, it's very easy just to say, there's one existence, one, it's consciousness, it's infinite, that's all. But if I know that, I don't need to look into it. There's nothing to look into. But when I'm looking into, they'll say from which angle, I have to analyze it from somewhere, and we have to start from where we're at, right? So child goes to school, they have to start where they're at. Okay, they already did kindergarten, they know to count. They don't know addition. They know addition, but they don't know multiplication yet. They know there, so let's start from there. Right? If they go to college, they're not going to start from there. If they start calculus before they know to count, or you know, fractions before they learned addition, how are they going to do? So from where we're at. So as individuals, we see the world and myself. So we have to look both angles. So if you looked at from this angle, now look at from the universal angle, okay? So let's read pada by pada, I can repeat after like this. So this is 54. Vyomadi pancha bhutastha.
Vyomadi pancha bhutastha.
Satta bhasat, ya satta bhasatendranam.
Ya satta bhasatendranam.
Sa satta paramam brahma.
Sa satta paramam brahma.
Iti vedanta dindimaha.
Iti vedanta dindimaha.
So it's saying human beings comprehend the existence of the five elements, beginning with the space. Vedanta declares that that existence is the supreme Brahman. So Vyomadi Panchabhutastha, within the space and the other four elements, what is situated within there, Ya Satta, this one, which is the this one is that satta, the same sat bhasate is tangible, exists like this. Nirnam, for the people. For people it is. And here saying for people because we're the humans, we have the intellect, the ability to look into. You may have your dog at home, and your dog may be very sweet and nice, but you're going to try to explain, listen, oh dear dog, you are, you know, really? What's out here? It's not, you know, cats and balls and snacks and place to sleep in this. It's really one presence. They're going to look at you and just want you to play catch, have a pat on the head. It's, they don't have the intellect for it. So it's for humans. We have the ability for it. And it's also, we signed up for it. We came into this birth. We signed up for it. We got the material for it. It's like somebody we met, we heard of him from some, I don't remember if it's relative or close friends of parents like this, who was living in the area here years back. Somebody who went to medical school, almost finished everything, and said, I don't know if it's for me in this, I'm going to travel and do something, and didn't finish it. It sounded like you trained all this, you already have the training, you have to use it. Okay, it doesn't mean you just be a doctor in this, but you already have. What for? Like this. So what a waste. So we have this. Some Mahatma will just say, you know, we don't use it for this, what a waste. That the God is going to say, okay, I understand, it was my mistake. You know, next lifetime you can, you know, you can be a tree or you can be something else, not a problem. Like this. So in any case, we have the ability, but then we don't use it. Especially if we have interest in this, we have to look into. Otherwise, we waste, you know, how many dindimas we have, we're just wasting it. We'll waste our time like this. But in any case, so so this is for the human, has the ability. Like Nainam, sa sapta, this one which is experienced, this satta experienced by all the people. Is sa satta paramam brahma, this is the Brahman, none other than that. None other than this, this is. So Brahman, of course, people say Ishvara a lot of the time. So people say Ishvara, they say the God. And they have some Shraddha faith in, which is very good. But then, and they even say this one, this God, my dear Krishna, my dear Shiva, whichever name they'll give, it's just the name, is all-powerful, all-pervasive. So say, is this the creator? Yes, the creator of everything. So in and through everything, yes. Beyond everything, yes. Okay, very good. So, but still, this Krishna, though, is this Krishna, this form. Not this form here, no, not this form. This one, like this. No, I don't like that one, I like this one. So okay, like this. So, starts with the form, but then what is it really? What is it really pointing to? And then what it's pointing to, so the moment you have a form, if it has to have a specific form, it's good for the mind, for upasana, good to connect it first. Just like writing down for calculation, good, but then afterwards, after a little while, do you need that? The farmer's market here, the fears I go every Sunday, where I was going, one teenager, she was obviously working her parents' stand. So some simple thing, you know, a few things got very simple, the addition was. So she wants to go to the machine to add it. Said, hey, don't do it like this, you know, use your mind, you figure it out like this, like 7 + 4 + 5 or whatever it is, you want to use that. So, but in any case, so what happens then is, the Ishvara, this, if Ishvara is creator behind everything, meaning beyond the space, because space is part of the creation. We all know that. Before creation, where's the space? Mm-hmm. Like this, where are you going to find it? So yes, this one even created the space, meaning beyond the space. Something beyond space has to be formless. How you take away the space, how's our Jagannath going to keep his form? Where's his form going to be? Right? So then, has to be formless. Now, if something is Now, one thing that goes like this, no space, then no form, because form means a certain area within the space. That's all that it is. We give some spatial limitation. Now, something, so this one is beyond the space. Okay, our Ishvara is beyond space. Now, beyond space was here before the space came into existence. So what time did our Ishvara get up for his breakfast, for his, right, suprabhatam? What time did he get up before the creation for that? Because the prayer has to be done at this time of day. And at this time in the temples, they have to, in the Hindu temples, wake up. At this time, close, go to sleep. This is the afternoon break, so has to nap. That's all for upasana. But then for what is the Ishvara? Before the creation, when does he get up? There's no time. So something which is beyond space has to be beyond time too, because they go together. You can't have one without the other. Have space without time. It doesn't work, because it's the moment you have space, there's some changing phenomena. Comes into existence at some point, goes away at some point. So can't be like this. So no space, no time, like this. So this Ishvara has to be beyond space, beyond time. Now give it a name. The moment you give a name to something, you're giving, looking at some attributes. Some attribute meaning some sort of limitation, carving out from all the possibilities, certain possibility. And so what name can you give? That's why the names are usually indicative in some way or the other. That's why they say there is Vishnu. Vishnu means all pervasive. There's no Mr. Vishnu. Mr. Vishnu, that is, you know, with this form and this. In this way, in any of the deities you'll take. No, there's Shiva, there's the pure auspiciousness. There's no Mr. Shiva sitting there with a certain form, with his family in Mount Kailash and all this. That's, again, for the mind to have upasana, but the essence isn't like this, because beyond time, space. So that's why the name that will be given for, a name will be given just for the mind, a pointer for the mind. It's not the thing in itself, but it helps to point our attention to. So here that's why Brahman is used, Brahman, because Brahman meaning beyond space, spaceless. So it's a very good name to use for our attention to go to it, for us to understand. So this way the Brahman, you'll say like this. So that's why this will be used. Brahman is beyond space. So this is why this is. And then here also, Paramam Brahma saying, Brahman is just Brahman. We put Paramam in, put not, it doesn't matter. Like some, they say, Shri Swami Shivanandji Maharaj. Shri we put. Some of them say Shri for their guru, Shri, 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 108 times Shri. Put as many Shris or what? It's a guru, guru is guru. Put one Shri, 108 Shris. Just say Swami Shivanandji without the Shri. It's the same one. So put the Paramam. Or not Paramam, still Brahman. Spaceless, timeless, spaceless is timeless, spaceless. It's not, my Brahman is 108 Paramam, yours is just Paramam. But in any case, so here, Paramam, it's what meaning it's transcendent, so it's imminent yet transcendent. Because it's in and through everything, yet beyond everything. Like this. Very nice in the Garnapati Shirsha Upanishad, there. Garnapatyartha, some of the words just a little. Garnapati Upanishad, to be short. There. Tvam Gunatraya Titaha, Tvam Avastatraya Titaha, Tvam Dehatraya Titaha, Tvam Kalatraya Titaha. So this is beyond the Gurnas. In and through the Gurnas, but also beyond. Imminent yet transcendent, because it's within the space. Take the space, it's in everything, but not limited to anything. Everything in the manifest world, it's in and through it. You can't say, this is such a solid matter, there's no space inside. The space is there too, it's in and through it. But it's transcends, it's not limited by anything like this within the manifest world. So this way, the Brahman immanent in and through everything, yet transcendent. Three gunas are there. Yes, it's through them. But gunatitaha. It's within and through all the gunas. The presence is there. The existence, pure existence there. But it's also, if you take away the gunas, right, still there. You can't say it isn't. Then you say, well, and there's the three, there's different levels of experience, waking, dream, deep sleep. Yes, same presence is there, but it's not limited to. And then, with any of these things, past, present, future, whatever is timeless is there. It's not the timeless is sitting outside, because there's the idea of the God sitting outside. There's the God sitting somewhere, and there's the whole creation. They created, and they're sitting there, and, you know, they worked so hard 7 days. Today's Sunday, so the original was Saturday, but a new religion came up after some time, so they had to make it a little different. One religion was there, the one I grew up in, so Saturday, the seventh day. Then some other religion came and said, we have to be different, original. We're going to make it Sunday. No, God rests on Sunday. Another religion came later. No, we have to be different. They're wrong. It's going to be Friday. So the Hindus are the smartest. Every day is some holy day for different people. Then it works the best, more flexible. Oh, you fast on the Monday? Great. I do it on Thursday. Okay, very good. We're all happy. No need to fight. But in any case, seventh day, then the God needs to rest because it worked so hard. Let the world do its thing. I'm going to rest. The God is sitting outside. The God sitting outside, then how's it going to be in and through everything? So within and in and through beyond. Because if you look at it, always when you look at Samashti, always also look at Svashti, at yourself. Because in the end, it's to look at yourself. All my experiences, I'm in and through every part of my experiences. Take away all the experiences, am I gone? Look at deep sleep, you're still there. You know you're there. So you're in and through all the experiences, but whether they're there or not, you're there. So in any case, so here, then, so we say, okay, this Brahman in and through everything, very good. So in science, they're going to take one, look at it closely, you don't have to take everything. Okay, let me take the table, is it exists? Yeah, it exists, it's there. Is existence here? Yes. Is it in the chair? Yes. Is it next door? Let me go knock on the door, neighbor's door, go and check. No, you just take the basic things, it's there, okay. You know, they're checking things with the atomic, subatomic particles. If it's in the subatomic particles there, it'll be everywhere in the subatomic particles. So the basic building blocks, so five elements, right? Five elements. Pancha Mahatattvam. So these one, look at them. If it's there, then we know, okay, like this. Okay, very good. So then we start with the Vyomam, with the space. Okay, space. Space is very special, right? Because space, actually, you say just space. Wonderful just for to meditate. If you just take space without objects, then can you don't even, it's not something you can, it's tangible to you. If you just think of just meditate on space, where is everything? Just presence. Amazing, like this. So we say, okay, there's the presence. Space is presence.
Can you explain a little bit more? I mean, meditating on space.
Well, just focus just on space.
Just focus on space.
If you focus on space, first of all, where did all the forms go? Forms are gone, right? Now, what are you experiencing? Is there any, where's inside, outside? So no inside, outside. Where's the difference between you and between everything else when you think of space? It's all gone, right? You need some objects in order to start having a creation. But space, in and through everything, and then where's the form or anything? Next class will be, we've been like meditating most classes, kind of what we did before, we'll focus on that next class for sure. But just try that, just try to think like this. Where's everything?
Do you need more concentration or focus?
You just bring your attention to it.
Just bring
your attention to it. Just like you bring your attention to anything. You're listening to the speaking, you bring your attention. Right? Just think of it. Just think of it. Where's everything then? And where are you, when you think, where are you in the space? Are they two different things when you think of the space? It can't be something other than you, because then you're putting something in the space. You and the space. Right? Actually, this is when we talked about panchakoshas. That's one big thing which I miss, biggest one, the ego likes to run away from it, is my whole idea, ahankara, idea of myself. There's some persona I build up and identify. Where's that? What is that persona? Where is it? Some idea I'm this. So if you take the space, where's your persona? If you have something, now it's, there's me and the space, then you're kind of limiting something. You're not just thinking of space. You're thinking of, I'm thinking of the space. You're not just thinking space. Deep sleep, there's not you in space. There's just nothingness, like a void. Same thing when you just think of space. So just presence like this. So that's the first, easiest thing. Now what happens is, what is the creation then? What do we say? Creation is concepts. Meaning there's experience and then I conceptualize it. So what happens is I break it up, namarupa, I break it up into namarupa. This is a very nice thing that they say is, the world doesn't come and tell you, I'm here. You tell the world, it's you who tell the world you're there, right? So what happens is there's experience and then you break it up into parts, like this. If you take anything, you know, like modern art thing, put a modern art. Different people come, break it up into different things, right? Oh, this means this, this means this. So really the world, I break it up through my idea. Vachambaram namadeyam mrittika eva satyam, like this, where it's there, there's one presence, and then we break it up according to my tendencies. Different ones will see it differently. So that's why creation, we say, is really just concepts. I break it up into concepts. There's one presence, I break it up like this. It's not that it came. So that's why it's very interesting. That's why it's said that the whole creation is coming out of is knowledge, meaning out of language like this. Like, that's why they say the Sanskrit, we have the 50 sounds. The whole thing is made out of vibrations, meaning it's made out of language. An interesting thing, some years back, when I visited a childhood friend of my mother's who lives in Jerusalem. So in her house, she had a picture, drawing of like the old city of Jerusalem. And underneath, the Hebrew alphabet is there. So I said, what does this stand for? She said the exact same thing. They say from the, you know, the whole creation coming from the holy language like this. I said, wow, same thing, like this, not different. But in any case, so my idea, so the language names, I break it up into different things. Because some things I don't have a conceptual way to break it up, then it's just one thing for me, but somebody else, because they're more expert or interested in that field, they break it up to so much more. And then they break it up to so much more because that creation exists for them, it doesn't exist for me, like this. In any field, like this. So in this way, one presence, like this. And the way we also say is, to point that out, the satta, we say, okay, right? There is, this poor table is getting all of the blame today, like this. You know, a lot of times they'll put a pot, and then they can talk about the pot. When I was in the Gurukulam in Archavida, Pennsylvania, when I was there last time, so in the new hall there, so there's the there's the stage where the teacher will sit and teach, and they have this nice big, like an L-shaped table so they can sit behind or whatever. So, because I helped move it to the side after some lecture, because the person teaching Sanskrit and Swamiji there, he would sit on the side so they can project in the middle. So we'd move it to the side. So behind, underneath there are a few shelves and things. There are abundance of pots, like half a dozen pots sitting in there. I guess different people brought a pot in order to give a talk and then left it there. Like this. So in any case, so you say there is a table, right? There is a chair, like this. So there is satta, there is, so there is. So two parts we're saying. There is, meaning I experience there's something there, there's a presence, and then I give it a name. I'll call you table, right? You like to be the one naming something. People that find something in science, they get the other name, or some planet, they find some planet that will be named after them in this way. So satta, and then name and form, and name, and then I give it some. There's a form, there's a presence, then I give it some. Because some form, I give it some name. But there is comes first. So satta, there is nis. There is nis is satta. Because everything there is, and then. And in all languages, we don't just say table. We say there is a table. Here is a table. I think any of the languages you know, it'll probably be the same. The few languages I can think of, the small bit I'll know, it all is like this. You know, there is. So there is, and of course, as we pointed out many times in so many talks, always you'll hear, how we say, okay, that what happens is we take what is the substantive, the substantive thing, the meaning what is the constant thing, the substance, and we put it as an adjective, not as the main thing. So we say wooden table. It's made out of wood. It's not real gold, I'm sorry to tell you. This is giving away this feeling here. It was painted white, and one year one of the programs Jyoti had, they were going to use for Jagannath on the altar and everything, so somebody came and fixed it up like this, made it, you know, red around in this gold. So in any case, so it's the substance is wood, because tomorrow we're going to cut it up and, you know, you're going to give it to your daughter. Kavi will make some artistic thing out of it. She'll make some deity out of Ganesh or Krishna out of it. Now, like this. Or, you know, we'll cut it up and the garden will use it something, help to make the raised bin out of it, like this. So it's going to be, right? So what it's going to be is, has the substance changed? Same substance, same thing, nothing different, but in this form. So the material is the same materials, they're different form. So what is the material? In the end, the whole world is one material, it's the same material is there. And then, so really it's the wood in the shape of a table, the clay in the shape of a pot, right, the gold in the shape of the necklace. So it's the material existed, the material, whole material universe in a certain shape. So what is it? So the existence, because it exists. And the existence, nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, you can't take the existent, make it non-existent. You can change its form, but you can't take it away. And you can't take something non-existent, make it existing. So we experience, and then according to my tendencies, I'll break it up in a certain way, but the same presence, same existence is there regardless. One existence. And then I break it up according to my samskara, my tendencies, in this way. So really, the sattan, we go to the basic building blocks, the space we said, akasha. Then vayu, I feel it, right? There's still no form, but you feel. You feel presence. The thing is, you feel something. Then, first thing is I feel there's something there, meaning existence. It's there, showing me I'm there. Then I say it's a strong wind, it's a cold wind, it's a hot wind. Then I break it up. First exist, then I put the other ideas on, like this. Then, right, then you have this, then the... You feel the heat or see the light from the fire, something. There's a presence, and then the mind breaks it up to these things. Now the interesting thing is also, what happens is, because I'm a conscious being, I sense something. So I sense the existence. I sense it. And because I can sense, then there are five different ways it can be present as the akasha, as vayu, right? As Agni, as Apaha, and as Prithivi, as the five elements. So there are five ways for me to sense it. So that's why I can hear, and I can touch, and I can see, I can taste, I can smell. The five ways for the five different elements. Because I sense the existence manifest in this way. So I sense something, and then I break it up into these components. But always I sense something. I sense satta. So the mind adds the things to it. Without the mind, it would just be presence. But we, you know, just like food is bland, I want to add some, you know, according to my taste, some salt or some chili or some sugar, like this, right? When I first married, then, you know, wife being Ordia lady, then we used to go to the farmer's market in Oakland. We lived in Berkeley, so Friday we go to the farmer's market, we get vegetables. Jyoti liked it because they had all the Asian vegetables. Here, they have in all the stores because so many Indians here, but then Berkeley are not so many like this. So we'd go, and there was one German man selling pies. We'd take a pie home. Friday night, we'd watch a movie on the TV. We'd have pie after dinner with it, and she'd have her green chili with it. I thought, this is a little strange, chili. For you, probably it might not be strange. It might be, oh yeah, that's what you do. But for me, for seeing that first time, it was a little funny for me, personally, because I'm not used to it. Now I'm totally used to the green chilies there with everything I'm used to. But in any case, so there's something there, and then I want to add my flavor into it. So I see the presence and I add my flavor into it. What if I just experience without adding what it will be? Same thing. But it's too bland. I don't like that in this. Okay, so continue making drama. We continue making the drama because of what we add. The drama will be there anyway, we can enjoy it, but if we know it's a drama, then no problem. The problem is we don't know it's a drama, we think it's what it is. But really just presence. It equalizes everything. Right? That's why Shiva, Lord Shiva, is the auspiciousness, right? Like he was asking about the bhasma before the cloud. Do we have some bhasma? Because it goes through jnana agni, goes through jnana agni through viveka, then it just makes it equal. So Lord, this is why the bhasma for Lord Shiva burns, makes it equal. By understanding, you do the viveka, subtle difference between the presence and the elements, and then everything else is made out of the elements. Presence, name and form. Presence and the sensation through the ears, eyes, etc. That subtle viveka, when you make it, then it becomes clear that, you know, which is substantive, which isn't. The presence is there, satta is there, and the others are just some idea that is temporarily there. And then, those are as good as don't have the substance doesn't stand. But it's very subtle, of course. Very subtle. That's why it really takes a lot to look into, very subtly to look into, because it doesn't see it. How do you separate? It seems impossible to separate them in this way. So it's, and of course it's not physically separating. You can't take the put sattā here, put nama rupa here, and, you know, put the odors here, put my ideas here. You can't separate them like this, but through understanding. Through understanding of the two. And one thing is, one of the easiest ways to do it is what is constantly there and what is changing. That's one of the easiest. So really have to really look into. Swami Tattvinandanaji, he's been saying very nice in this, the talks I recommended that he gives on the Atma Manasambhadaha. Right, that he's been giving. Then he says there are a few challenges as a Vedanta student, Vedanta Jignasa, Jignasuhu actually. Jignasa is the desire to know, Jignasu the one who wants to know. So as a Jignasu, to take it as a challenge, you know, yes, there's a challenge for me to do. So challenge to take, okay, there's presence, and then there's all the other things I put on it. The challenge to have this viveka, truly look at it and keep seeing like this. And to first understand it, and then to really keep looking at it like this. Because, you know, when you can see it just a little bit, then, you know, the drama, all this thing, it's not, doesn't take as much hold. And that's really what we want. We want to be free. So we say, why do I want to look into all these things? You want to be free, content? Yes. Well, there, that's where you'll find it. Otherwise, you'll find a temporary solution to your wanting to be content. Temporary. So really to keep looking at. And so really to keep looking at, yes, there's presence. And then some smell is there, but that's just, you know, some interpretation present, not the substantive like this. So keep looking at it in this way, closer and closer in this way. Any other important points on this specific verse here? Very much. So again, so in the end, when it gets here, the topic is, as we said, subtle. Viveka is something, this is Viveka between something very, a subtle thing. But it's the essential thing for, you know, essential for understanding. Because when we look, and now when we're saying what we're looking at, we want to do between the sat and sat asat viveka. One is constant, one asat changing. Actually, one of the pointers given, which is a very helpful one, is the moment something is experienced, the experience, just by that fact that it's experienced means it's mithya, that it's, because the moment you experience something means it appears in a way. I hear something, it's appearing a certain way. I see something, it appears in a certain way. Because it's going through the filter of the sense. So I sense something, yes. But then when I see what I sense, then there's a filter because the eyes can only get so much. The ears only so much. And the moment something travels from one thing to the other, then always something is lost on the way. Like when you translate. Translation will always, you'll lose something. You'll say something in your language. I'll say, how do you say that in English, right? Well, it's kind of like this, but not exactly like this. So in this way, it's kind of, you know, similar to. So the moment it goes through. So there's presence, I want to translate it to something I can see. I can see in a small range and limited. Hearing, also limited. Take all these. So, yes, I sense it's there, but the appearance of what it looks like, sounds like in this is always going to be a limitation. It's not it in itself. It's not the thing in itself, right? So, the sat presence is present, that's it. And then, I sense me and I'm sensing it. Then anything added to it is going to be the appearance, or also, you know, more than I add to it, you know, from my own mind, also my own ideas, but just directly seeing it's like this. Just the information from the senses already is as though limiting, as though changing it. And thing is, we say, well, I don't experience it, I don't know what's there, what are you talking about? Well, the thing is, what is common, that's why we say there is table, there is chair, there is sky, there is. Something is common there. What is common throughout all the experiences? This is the viveka. Common, because I hear and I see what is common. I hear noise, I hear silence. I taste this, I taste that. I experience the wind. I see the sun, all this. Okay, all these. Within, what is constant? There's some constant presence there. That's what it is. So, in that way. In the one day, as we said, we'll do in Keno Upanishad, which I promised Sunday, so after this we'll get into that. Tameva brahma tatvam vidhi nainam idam upasate. A little bit similar. I'm a little off because I don't know by heart. So, yes, that is Brahman, not what is worshipped here, meaning anything you take is some limited thing, whether through worship or through experience, that's not the Brahman. Because then you're going to want to take a snapshot of the Brahman and put it on your social media page, and the snapshot is always something limited. It's not the thing in itself. So we take the snapshots and want that to be it. Where it's what's common always through there, constantly. So this is what's pointing out. So iti vedanta dindima, this is a small reminder. And then really have to look into, and you know, it's just something we constantly look into more and more subtly. It's something that we have to come slowly to unfold, and you know, like that we more and more subtle as we do, then it becomes refined, a little clearer. It doesn't mean that okay, now I know everything, but slowly, and then that's the whole idea, to have more clarification on it in this way. So let's conclude with that for today. Om. Om.
Tadah Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. Keep well. Mm-hmm.